This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, halflings! It's me, Jasper William Cartwright, and I am joined today by...
Leandro Nati Lewis-Nyao, but everybody calls me Unati!
And...
Jeremy Cobb, but Chelsea Harris calls me Jerabree Cobb. So, pronounce like Jeremy, but with Brie, because, quote, you're great like bread and cheese.
Hey, you are great like bread and cheese,
yes.
Jeremy.
Thanks a lot to both Jasper and Chelsea Harris.
I agree. Bread and
for thinking that I was great and also similar to bread and cheese.
Yes.
I like
little
both
bit
of those things.
A little bit of cranberry on there with the brie and the bread, and that goes real nice. Get a little bit of cranberry on your cob. Mm.
That's, I have to say, that's one pronunciation peculiarity that I do prefer with the Americans, where we pronounce the berry more.
Oh my God!
This is the wrong dungeon and the wrong dragons.
Full Prince vibe? Woof!
This makes them even more black!
Cake glitches and pitches.
And lands in the cusp of a teaspoon.
Oh, no!
On a nat 20.
No!
You think this is just a game?
That's disgusting and I love it.
Yeah. We're about to get into something real big now.
Yeah.
Add the berry. So hello, halflings. We are going to do something a little bit differently today. As we are releasing this episode on the 24th of May, which is one day away from the anniversary of George Floyd's murder. And we kind of wanted to acknowledge that fact here on the show. And we wanted to sort of talk about it. And as Unati so eloquently puts all the time, black joy is a form of protest. And we sort of thought that maybe today would be a good day for us to spread a bit of black joy and a bit of black love and then give you guys some sort of time to go and do and interact with that stuff. So, gang, why don't we sort of start this off? We can just do a really quick sort of discussion, if you will, just about like the last year and how that's been for us sort of navigating different spaces. This is not going to be like a look back on our like year as the show. We're going to sort of do that soon, I think, because we're approaching our anniversary of the show. But just sort of like generally how it's been, looking back on the kinds of conversations that we're now having that we weren't having. And again, we'll keep this nice and quick and brief, and then we'll share some joy, and then we'll let you guys go and do some of that. We'll sort of set you a challenge to go and interact with some beautiful black content. So yeah, whoever wants or has a thought about this year.
I think in many ways it's been a good year, and also in many ways it's been a bad year, much like most years. But I think that what it has really done is it's made the conversation a fair bit easier in spaces where it felt quite difficult before, or would be a conversation that may well be kind of shut down. And also I think at least in my circles, for the very least, I can only speak for like the circles that I sort of roll in. But I think a lot of my, what was my favorite? Well, I heard a new one, the Melanin Challenge. My Melanin Challenge friends have really just started upping their games in terms of doing the work and getting the information. There's loads of great books out there. Available on audiobook, and obviously you can read them as well. Loads of great resources, and just really challenging themselves and looking at the situations and challenging their family members and structures and seeing things a little bit differently. And I think that, you know, it's It can't always be on the burden of the oppressed to change things, because usually they're the ones who don't have the privilege to actually really make those shifts. And it's really just great when allies come through for the struggle so the burden can be shared. But it's been great that police officer has been found guilty. Yes. That was a really good ruling. But it's also really clear that there's a lot of work to be done, because, you know, that's, you know, 6 out of 15,000, I think it was, reports of police brutality. So, although it is a milestone, there is a lot of work that needs to be done in terms of, you know, changing the discourse and helping people where they need it. But in terms of TTRPGs, just be cool, dude. Be cool and bring some diverse things and have fun and don't be an ass.
But, like, going back to the thing that I think that, we'll go back to what you just said there. I think the acknowledgement that the work has to be done is what I feel like has really changed for me. Like, a lot of people acknowledge, oh, okay, we do actually have work to do.
Yeah.
And we're sort of no longer in a space of just being like, yeah, everything's kind of fine, and we're just sort of generally healing, right? Like, it's like, no, that's, you know, that's not really a thing. Yeah. So I think people all around the world are, like, acknowledging that that has to happen.
Yeah.
And that the work has to be put in. And I think that's not just on against, you know, black people. I think we've recently had, you know, the Stop Asian Hate movement and a lot of discussions around that, which has been excellent. So I think there's been a real kind of racial awakening almost of us kind of realizing, actually, no, there's a lot of work to do across the board here if we're going to create a space where that we kind of claim to have, which is this sort of safe place for all people to kind of, you know, live their lives and achieve what, you know, they can and live safely and comfortably and that sort of thing. I'm just interested before me or Jeremy jump in, actually, you know, we all hail from different parts of the world, and I thought it might be interesting, just like, what, I don't know if you've noticed, has there been a reaction in South Africa? I know you obviously you're not in South Africa at the moment, but do you talk to friends in there? Like, what has the impact of this last year been over there as well? Because I'm interested, you know.
I think when it sort of comes to, like, global discussions around sort of systemic race issues, it's same monster, different battle map, right? And of course people were kind of up in arms about it, and there were protests in South Africa. And it shook some things up, but South Africa's got a really, really We've had conversations around race for a lot longer than most nations, I would say, in that, like, we've, you know, tried to bring it to the forefront because of our very sort of violent battle against apartheid. There's work to be done. There's a lot of work to be done. It's still a mess. And again, issues of privilege, economic issues, same monster, different battle map.
Sure.
That's it. Like, yeah. Sure. But there has been, you know, loads of support. But yeah, everywhere's different, I guess. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it was interesting to know, because obviously, yeah, like you said, you've had, it's sort of been a long, a long history, I think, and a kind of more publicized, I guess, history of, like, sort of the struggle for racial justice. And do you know what I mean? I think, like, you know, next to places like America and everything, you know, who have, again, like, there is sort of huge movements, I think it's similar.
Yeah.
Whereas in the UK, I think that there is a general assumption that everyone's fine, because we kind of don't have, like, a moment, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I guess probably Windrush, actually, sort of slightly more recently, is probably like our big racial injustice kind of moment, you know what I mean? That kind of people
and
talk
Stephen
about.
And Stephen Lawrence as well.
Yeah.
Stephen Lawrence is a big one. There's been a resurgence of that coming back in and looking at a couple of really sketchy cases, do you know what I mean, in the UK that have been like, that was really bad. That was bad.
That actually, I think, is a very interesting point. The idea that this has brought, hopefully, I think it probably has to some degree, more of an awareness of racial issues in countries that do not have as public or quote unquote storied a racial history as, say, South Africa or the United States, which I think is primarily due in almost every single case due to them not having much diversity. Certainly in Europe. Certainly in Europe, that's usually the case. If there is not like, for instance, if, say, the Netherlands had a much higher, like, say the Netherlands were, like, 15% black, Zwarte Piet would have become a big issue way sooner.
Yes. Yeah.
The monkey chants at football games in Italy would have been called out way sooner. And perhaps the Italian people would not have responded with, well, you're actually the one who's being racist by bringing race into this at all. never mind that this is a racial taunting against specifically black people. Yeah. You guys are the ones who are being racist for making a thing out of it. Like, these would have been issue or blackface. Actually, I just saw I went to the Czech Republic for a semester.
Yeah.
I spent like a semester in the Czech Republic going to school. And I just like a couple days ago saw a person that I knew in a production of Robinson Crusoe, a musical version of Robinson Crusoe. Mm. And I'm looking through the cast photos and there is a dude in full blackface with a big old afro.
Whoa.
And it brought me back to like the time I had a long argument with a friend of mine in the Czech Republic about whether or not blackface was appropriate. At Jeez. Like parties and stuff it's ultimately a case of ignorance. And what I hope is that with situations like this, countries people from countries who do not have as publicized a history of racial issues, I hope that they, rather than just pointing at, say, the United States or especially like in the 80s, South Africa, and saying, wow, those people have a real big problem.
Yeah.
It's worse over there, so therefore we're okay.
Exactly.
Kind of thing.
It's only worse because there's more of them. That's actually why.
Yeah.
It would not be any better in a lot of these other countries.
Yeah.
For instance, in the U.S., I would say the racial attitudes in the U.S. are not really any worse than the ones I've encountered in Europe. It's just that the U.S., we talk about it more and people have guns. That's the main difference. European, I've never had a dude in the U.S. come up to me and accuse me of having a bomb in my duffel bag because I was brown. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have people in the U.S. trying to argue in favor of blackface. Obviously, that's partly because we have more of a specific history with it. But anyway, my point is, I think that's one hopefully really positive thing that has come out of this. It certainly was a positive thing in my friendships with some of my white friends, British white friends, white friends in Britain, in which I was able to talk to them and confront them about issues that I had seen in a way that I had not felt comfortable doing before. Or perhaps I wasn't as aware of before. And then also I can speak certainly shout out to my buddy Taylor in the U.S.
Farmer Lewis?
Yes.
Hey.
The legendary Farmer Lewis. I don't know how interested he had been in racial issues prior to last year, but I do know that what I have observed him becoming, like going out and educating himself and becoming much more conscious of stuff, seemingly from my perspective, just based on the fact that we hadn't really, I've been friends with this dude since 2007 and we like never talked about it prior to that. So 2006 even. So I shout out to him, but that would be an example of like what Unati is saying, I think, of people becoming more aware and reevaluating how they relate to these issues and saying, oh wait, maybe these issues are not just something that exists separate from me. This is something that I should actually pay attention to and care about and is actually relevant to me and my own attitudes.
Absolutely. And I think that for a lot of people, they kind of realize that, oh, I'm sort of a part of a system which upholds this behavior. And I take that, I absolutely class myself in that. I think I've spoken about it on the show before about the fact that I've realized like over the course of the last year that there are certain behaviors that I perpetrated which didn't kind of help my own situation and make me feel more comfortable in certain situations, or my friends, or, you know, people who I should have sort of allied myself with, and you know, as well as melaninly challenged folks, like you said earlier, Unati. And so I think that for me, I would say that one of the joys, I think, of this last year and going through what felt like a really like shared trauma moment, like the whole kind of, I think it was the, I don't know whether it was the sort of brutality of the moment or what sort of brought it out, but it really felt like there was a sensation of everyone kind of going like, this just isn't good enough wherever you are and kind of whoever you kind of whatever like political persuasion you have or whatever, like this isn't good enough, like people are people need to be treated like human beings. And I just think there kind of came this sort of shared empathy moment. And out of that came discussion, in which people could feel very like held and comforted, and like no one's going to shout at you for having got stuff wrong in the past. And I think that's absolutely what led me to like wanting to start this show, and because I felt emboldened to be able to have conversations that I really don't think I'd have had a year ago. You know, I don't think I'd have been sort of forthcoming with, as you know, the kind of stories and things that we talk about on this show, because I'd have just kind of been like, yeah, it's okay, that's just how it is in the world, right? That's how TTRPGs are, right? They're just kind of white things, and I'll just be an elf. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it sounds stupid, but I think that's the kind of thing that's really changed me on like a personal level, is just being like, hell no, I'm going to embrace this side of me, and I'm going to play and like, you know, Wugadu or, you know, whatever it may be, and I can feel happy and good about that. And so, cool. I don't want to sort of linger on this for too long. I just thought it'd be good for us to share some points. Why don't we throw out some stuff that people can go and engage with right now? Let's highlight some people, some folks, and then we're going to sort of cut this off early and sort of offer you a challenge, listeners, to go like give a signal boost to some black creators. You know, just go and give someone some love on Twitter or Instagram, whatever. Let's spread some niceness and some joy. Go find a movie to put on later today, go find a book to read, whatever it may be. Just go and engage with some black content today, and when you listen to this, because I think that we need to embrace the fact that our joy and our success is just as valid as our kind of sadness and anger. So Yunati, I know you've been preening over this list for a while, so why don't you go ahead and kick us off?
first of all, if you have not read Octavia E. Butler, I don't know what you are doing with your life. I don't know what you are doing with your life. The woman is a G. Ursula Le Guin has been trying to get people, and she's been sort of like shouting her name out for ages to get people to keep reading her. One of the earliest black female science fiction writers. She is amazing. Really, very really, cool. Really incredible works.
And don't worry for everyone. We'll put a list of like names and things that you can, so you can copy and paste into your Google searches. So don't worry about like taking notes during the episode.
Yeah.
You can just listen. It's cool. It'll be below.
You must take notes.
Must take notes.
And then Nnedi Okorafor, I hope I am not bastardizing that, but Nnedi Okorafor has written a book, two of my favorite books actually, Who Fears Death and Akata Witch. Who Fears Death is an excellent post-apocalyptic Africa. It's just like, it's such a good book. And the Akata Witch is really great as well. Then we have, don't move away from your mic, Unati. Then... I just literally
immediately
these,
moves away from the mic.
I brought these books out.
We can share and throw out a few more. Okay, United's got the book. She's
then
got the book.
We've got
she had to rifle through the jewels and gems first to find the book. I'm going to put some jewels and gems sound effects on that.
But which means you're going to have to edit most of them out, because you just wouldn't be able to hear it.
Yeah, because you wouldn't be able to hear it. Yeah.
Then we've got Tomi Adeyemi. She wrote Children of Blood and Bone. Really, really, really good. Really, really good series. Incredible series, actually. Just mind-blowing. Then we've got Nalo Hopkinson, Brown Girl in the Ring. Really, really, really good book as well.
I thought you meant the movie for a second. I was like, what? Brown Girl in the Ring?
I don't think I do, actually.
Please also check out Tochi Onyenbuchi, also another really, really, really great writer. I wrote Riot Baby, really, 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 really great writer. If you love that kind of sci-fi fantasy vibes, all of these are mainly sci-fi and fantasy writers, by the way. N.K. Jemisin, also another great fantasy author. and Caldwell Turnbull is great as well. Binta is great as well. I mean, Binta is by Nnedi Okorafor, which is really, really good. Nikki Drayden is really good. This one is about South Africa. It's really good. And there's a queer vibe in there. She like can control minds. It's super cool. If you're looking for other media, I mean, this is not necessarily sci-fi, but it's The Ice Cream Man is back.
The Ice Cream Man. The Ice Cream Man is in sync with us right now. Like every time we record right now, he turns up.
This guy really wants to get on the show.
Yeah, he's outside listening to the show. That's what's happening.
Them are on Amazon Prime currently. It's really, really good. It's intense. It's a lot, but it's really good and really scary. I was literally walking from the bathroom, like after watching it, afraid of the shadows and screaming, running away from racism. That's how scared it made me. It made me literally afraid of racism.
What are you running away from? I'm running away from racism.
Literally, like that was the feeling I had.
Just
like,
hiding racism, hiding around every corner.
Do you know what I mean? Like it literally, it made it real. Like I mean, it is real, but you know what I mean? Like it made it like it made it like tangible. Like you could be like, this is the racism. This. There's also Tade Thompson. Really great writer as well. And then if you're looking for like a great source book, New Sons, original speculative fiction by people of color. It's like it's a series of short stories, and then you can start looking for those writers. Features people like Kathleen Alcala, Minsu Kang, Anil Menon, Sylvia Moreno Garcia. Like really, really interesting writers as well, and new work out there. Black Panther: World of Wakanda by Roxane Gay is also really fun. If you want to check that out. And then another series, another anthology, I should say, that's what they are, short stories, is Mothership, Tales from Afrofuturism and Beyond. That's really cool. Yeah, check them out, my dudes. And then, yeah, like just look out for like independent comic book creators. Skyward is a great comic book series that's come out of Image Comics with a black female lead fronting it. Really cool. Yeah, I think That's me.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
A very, very good list, Yinati.
Speaking of Image Comics, isn't Spawn black?
Yeah, Spawn is black, yeah.
Yeah, and that's Image Comics.
Yeah.
He's like the flagship of Image Comics, or was anyway. Yeah. I've never actually read a Spawn comic, but I do like Todd McFarlane's work on Spider-Man.
I've never read a Spawn comic.
Yeah. Todd McFarlane, I think, created Venom prior to leaving Marvel to do Spawn.
Oh, nice.
So a lot of the stuff that I'm going to mention is probably more mainstream, at least in terms of the movies. A lot of people probably still haven't seen some of these, so it's very much worth watching. Spike Lee. I got a whole list of Spike Lee movies. Specifically just the ones that I have seen and would recommend. Do the Right Thing is an incredible movie. I think is still extremely relevant today. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's one of the all-time best movies about the state of modern American race relations, especially in light of last year. Watch that movie and you'll see what I mean. Malcolm X. An absolutely phenomenal movie, one of Denzel Washington's best performances. Truly, like, it's one of the only American epics that you will actually see that is about a black person. Almost all of them are about white people, but this one is about a black man, and it's a true story, and it does a really good job of charting his journey. 25th Hour,
the
least black-oriented of all of the Spike Lee movies that I have yeah. seen, but still very, very good movie.
Edward Norton 100%
worth watching. I have a thing with Spike Lee movies where sometimes I'll be watching the movie and spend most of the movie being like, okay, so this is good, but I don't understand. I don't get it. Like, why am I, why did you, and then like towards the end, something will happen and I'll be like, oh. And that happened with Do the Right Thing. And it happened even harder with 25th Hour,
yeah,
where
really
I was
good.
Like, okay, yeah, no, I'm 100% with you now. That was great. Chirac, or Chirac, depending on how you pronounce it, which is an adaptation of the Lysistrata. Very cool movie. It basically takes gangland violence in Chicago and it substitutes that for the war between Sparta and Athens in the Lysistrata. Very cool, creative movie. Black Klansman, probably the most famous of his recent movies. Very, very, very good movie. 100% go. Speaking of Denzel Washington, his son stars in that one. Go check that movie out.
And kills it, by the way.
Yeah, does a great job.
Annoyingly, so I'm always like, whenever there's like clear nepotism involved, I'm like, you got to earn this, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be judging you even harder than like a normal person. And God damn it, you're so good.
Yeah, I feel like he cleared himself of any accusations
absolutely,
of nepotism
absolutely.
With that one. And then Defy Bloods, another very notable, very good movie, with starring a number of older black actors, all of whom have had fantastic careers in a lot of different really, really good things. And also notably, the dearly departed Chadwick Boseman recently, just last year. Then I got Boots Riley with Sorry to Bother You. I don't know if he's done any movies since then, but Sorry to Bother You was my favorite movie of the year that it came out, which I think
too.
Was 2018.
It was so good.
Fantastic movie. Incredibly creative and like completely unpredictable, with some scenes that for all of their like surrealism are still extremely relatable. That party scene, well, with the rapping, is one of the most painfully relatable scenes.
Oh my god!
Long time.
It was literally like we were discussing the other day on our little mini-sode, Jeremy. It was just like, oh no,
When you were talking, Jasper, when you were talking just now about like behaviors that you've engaged in, that you're like, I didn't help my case.
Oh, that is it. That is it. Not just turning around and leaving that party.
Definitely go watch that. If you haven't seen it, Ava DuVernay come in with Selma, really, really, really good movie. Certainly one of the best Martin Luther King Jr. depictions/movies in general that I have seen. Very good film. It touches on multiple sides of his character. It doesn't just paint him as a saint. He comes across as a real human, but at the same time, still an incredibly inspiring figure. And also, When They See Us, the first couple episodes are absolutely nightmarish to get through. It gets progressively less painful to watch.
But not
starts at such a high bar that it's kind of like going down from there is not like...
Yeah. It's not by much.
I wasn't finishing episodes and actively just being like, that I didn't like that. It's a very high quality show. Really, really good. Very much worth checking
really
out.
Good.
Speaking of another
and
high
horrendously
quality.
Horrendously snubbed as well, I might add, for like everything that year. Truly awful.
Well, trucking on, throwing another series we've talked about on the show before many times. The recent 2019 adaptation of Watchmen. Though I don't know who, I know that Damon Lindelof, who's a white man, was the showrunner. There are definitely there's a huge amount of black talent in front of the camera.
Also wrote 25th Hour, by the way.
Oh, Damon Lindelof, really?
Yeah. I think he wrote the book about it and then adapted it. I think that's what I remember reading somewhere.
Well, there you go. Regina King, Yahya Abdul Mateen II, Lew Gossett Jr. It's a, like, just go check it out. That movie's awesome.
Still, that one episode, you know what I'm talking about if you've watched it. Arguably the greatest episode of TV that I ever watched.
Yeah.
I was absolutely floored by it. Absolutely incredible.
I will suggest reading the comic first, because it is very much a sequel to the comic book. And you might be just be wondering, like, why are there squids falling from the sky in the first episode? And what is going on in this show?
Yeah.
So probably read the comic first. Speaking of a movie that you don't need to read the comic for, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. You can enjoy that movie just going on, especially if you've seen the other Spider-Man movies. But in my opinion, the best black-led Spider-Man, or excuse me, superhero movie of 2018. There, I said it. It's better than Black Panther. I think we already said that on the show.
It's the best superhero movie, period. I'm saying that. I'm nailing my colors to that one.
I would say it is easily in the conversation. It would be ridiculous to not include it in the conversation.
Yeah.
Moving on to Barry Jenkins.
Yes.
You've stolen half my list here already.
I'm sorry. Moonlight. That's one of Jasper's favorite movies, I believe.
Yeah. Of all time. Yes. Literally, I think it's in my top three consistent. Every time I go down to do my top three, Moonlight is always in there. I adore that movie so hard. I love it.
It's very, so very, very good
please
movie.
Please watch it if you haven't. Please.
The follow-up, If Beale Street Could Talk, also very much worth watching, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Very good movie. Both of those, tonally very distinct. I love the gentle kind of feel to those movies. There's a real dreamlike, gentle, beautiful feel to both of those movies, even when they deal with very difficult and painful topics. Then jumping on to a black creator who rarely makes movies about the black experience, Steve McQueen. No, not that one. The black one. For his first movie, his first mainstream movie, well, I guess it's not really that mainstream, but starring Michael Fassbender, Hunger. Absolutely. It's about Bobby Sands and his hunger strikes. Very, very good movie. Shame. Also very, very good movie. Also starring Michael Fassbender. Both of these movies are painful to watch. In fact, so is the next one, 12 Years a Slave. His only movie so far specifically about the black experience. All three of those movies are absolutely brutal to watch. But if you enjoy really, really well-made, creatively filmed, beautiful and rough drama, all three of those are fantastic. And if you like something a little bit more accessible, Widows, also a very good movie. And, I mean, stars Viola Davis. So it's not like he tossed all the black people out.
Did he also do Small Axe?
Yeah, he did Small Axe as well.
Oh, yes.
Which is a very interesting series.
I haven't seen that one. I've only seen his movies.
So
but yes, I've heard good things
so
about
good,
it.
So good.
Steve McQueen has been forever, for the longest time, the top of my list. If I could pick a director to work with, Steve McQueen has been the top of that list for, I think I literally watched Shame and was like, yep, he's top of the list. I want to work with this guy. Yeah. He's great. Yeah. Mm. He's great.
Moving on, another series, got Ezra Edelman with OJ Made in America. Everybody went and watched The People versus OJ Simpson. While that's a perfectly fine show, I don't think it has anything on OJ Made in America, which is a docu-series charting OJ Simpson's rise from like his very beginnings up through the trial and the aftermath, and paralleling it with the journey of black people in the United States and his relationship to blackness and black people, how all of that influenced the trial. It's such a good series. Really, really, really incredible. 100% please go watch it. Then I got Shaka King with Judas and the Black Messiah, probably the most recent release on this list. Very, very, probably the best of the Best Picture nominees from last year that I have watched so far, in my opinion. Really, really good movie. I think multiple Academy Award winner as well. And then speaking of movies that feature Daniel Kaluuya, I got Jordan Peele coming in strong out the gate with Get Out.
Yeah.
A fantastic movie if you haven't seen it. You've definitely heard about it. Go watch it if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, you absolutely have. So there's no excuse now.
The follow-up, Us, also a very good movie. Jasper, I actually watched that in the theater back when it first came out. That very, very good movie. And then I guess I'll throw out some classic books because most of the black literature that I've read is kind of older. But I'd like to throw out Zora Neale Hurston with Their Eyes Were Watching God. I'd like to throw out Ralph Ellison with Invisible Man, one of my favorite books ever. Such a good book. It's referenced by Kendrick Lamar. So you know it's a good song. Or excuse me, a good book. Native Son, written by Richard Wright, which was adapted into a movie. The movie's good, but the book is harder hitting and overall better, I think. Also, Beloved by Toni Morrison, obviously real, real, real famous one. Go check that one out if you have not read it. Again, some of these are rough.
Really rough.
Some of these are really rough. Beloved in particular is brutal.
Really rough.
But if you're looking for something that's a little bit lighter, Invisible Man, for the most part, is very funny, even if it's still dark at certain points. And then, let's see, Cry the Beloved Country.
Yeah.
That one's really good. That's not, I don't believe the author was black, but he was South African. And he was writing about things, I guess, that he would have observed. Alan Stewart Patton, probably mispronounced his name. But,
yeah, not, he wasn't black yet, but he's South African, yeah.
Yes, but a book that is also by an African man who is black is Things Fall Apart by Chinua Achebe. Yeah. Very good book as well. All of those are worth checking out. And then finally, two final things. I forgot to mention this earlier. I want to throw out Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Chadwick Boseman was robbed. Really, 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 really good play adaptation. Fantastic.
Great play. Yeah. Just really great. If you ever get the chance to see Ma Rainey's Black Bottom on stage,
August
go
Wilson.
See it.
Just
it's
read them all.
An absolute. Yeah. Oh,
August
yeah,
Wilson,
anything.
Absolutely incredible playwright. Yeah. And Ma Rainey's Black Bottom is a phenomenal play. And the movie was an outstanding adaptation. And then finally, this is one, probably the most obscure thing that I've mentioned so far. I didn't want to go jump into music because we would literally be here all day. But one band that I don't think most people have heard of, which will give you, they don't sound like hardly any other black bands that you would have heard. Death. If you have not, if you enjoy punk rock or proto punk, you need, or even hard rock, you need to check out Death. Death were arguably, depending on who you ask, possibly the first ever punk rock band, and almost no one has heard of them. They're based out of they were based out of Detroit, Michigan. It was a group of brothers. They originally started out as a funk band, but then after seeing The Who James live, decided that they would pivot to making more hard rock oriented music. The name Death actually comes from the death of their father. It was meant to be like spinning death from the concept of death from negative to the positive. The band never got as popular as they deserved, in large part because they were based in Detroit, Michigan, whereas pretty much every other major proto-punk or early punk band is based in New York. Velvet Underground, New York Dolls, Ramones, etc. And in contrast to their fellow Michiganites, the Stooges, they were black. The Stooges were a white punk band or white proto-punk band, much easier to sell that kind of music. Basically, the Death were considered too black for the white audience and too white for the black audience. But their music is available on YouTube. It's their EP for the whole world to see. So worth checking out. They had a ton of potential. They incorporated a lot of like funk influences that really didn't pop up again in the punk genre until like the advent of post-punk and new wave in the late 70s with bands like Talking Heads. But 100%, if you enjoy hard rock or punk or proto-punk or even post-punk, why not? Go check out Death. Really, really great band.
Amazing. Absolutely incredible. And then, so yeah, to bring us home, a few of mine have gone, that's great. Because I was, everything Steve McQueen and Barry Jenkins. Barry Jenkins has actually just released The Underground Railroad on Amazon Prime, which might be worth checking out. I have not yet watched it. I'm sort of geeing myself up to watch it because I know it won't be an easy one. But it will definitely be watching that at some point. I want to shout out Bloods as well, which is a new TV series on Sky. A friend of a friend is a part of the writing team on that. He's a great black writer. He's done some kids' books as well. That's really, really good. So yeah, that's Bloods on Sky. If you have kids, speaking of kids, if you have children, check out Jojo and Gran Gran. I actually happen to be friends with the producer on it, a really lovely guy called Tom, and we talk a lot about the kind of process of making it, and he put so much effort into making it a really authentic kind of black British story about a little girl called Jojo and her gran-gran, and they basically just kind of go on little adventures and things together when gran-gran sort of babysits Jojo, and it's just so gorgeous and so heartfelt. And I think that if you are trying to sort of understand the black British experience, I think it's a really gorgeous way to look at it, and I think that for a lot of black kids in the UK and probably elsewhere as well, because I think it translates well, It's yeah, quite an important piece and not something that you often see. So yeah, definitely a big shout out to JoJo and Grangran. TTRPG wise, I think the Into the Motherlands just launched their Kickstarter, so that'll be worth checking out. There's loads of great rewards and things that you can get on there. Plus, there's a bunch of our previous guests that have worked on it. I know Abri is in season 2 and B-Dave is there as well. And so wanted to throw that out. So yes, there's loads of stuff there. Absolutely bags and bags full of content for you to go and check out. Yeah, we're going to leave this episode here and give you guys some time to go and do those things. Like I said, the challenge to you, go and signal boost some black creators that you like or some POC creators that you like. Go share them, give them some, send them some love, tell them they're doing a good job, buy them a coffee or whatever it is, that cool thing that you can do, sign up to their Patreon, that kind of thing, and let's make this sort of a day or a week of joy and expression and kind of take that sort of step together. I think is the message of this episode. So yeah, we will see you very, very soon. So long, Shire folk.
So long, Shire folk.
So long, Shire folk.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.